Second Peter, 18th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse number 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for your goodness, and Lord, thank you for the precious, wonderful Bible, the Word of God. We thank you for the great privilege we have tonight in, Lord, preaching thy word and studying from it, Lord. And, Lord, we ask you to help us, give us some understanding, Lord, of things that you've put down in your word that will help us to live for you, to love you and walk with you and serve you. Now, Father, once again, just help our hearts to be what they should be. And, Lord, if there's a need tonight, Lord, it'll be a night when you'll be able to do the work in each and every one of our hearts that need to be done. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message tonight about commerce. Commerce is the trafficking of merchandise. It would be like if you would take a ship, let's use a ship as an illustration. Take a ship and you would load a ship up from United States of America. And you would take that and buy the product that's on that ship as cheap as you can buy it, take it over to England and sell it for as high as you can sell it, load back up some other products that you can buy as cheap as you can buy them, and take them maybe to another country or back to the United States or wherever it might be and sell them for whatever you can sell them for and to make a profit. Now, commerce is something that the world lives by, but there's a certain part of what we call the commerce that is not a godly commerce. It is a worldly system that's been set up by the world that controls most of the world's commerce. It's not a godly commerce. I'm not saying God doesn't allow it. It's the way it is. But we have grown so used to the way we live here in America and the way we do things in the world and in America that we forget how God set things up. And so we want to tonight try to share with you some things and try to go back, and we're going to go back in the book of Genesis for a few moments and look at some things to try to give us a little bit of background to try to help us with an understanding as we get into chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. You'll notice in there he mentioned the merchants. He mentioned the merchants on down in the Bible as they stood out on their ships and far off, and they looked at this great city Babylon, which had fallen, and they was weeping. Well, they wasn't weeping so much over the city, but over the loss of the commerce, the trade, the money that they would make. And that's what it's all about. Whether we realize it or not, we all, to some degree, are controlled by it. It's the way it is. It's the system it's the system that Satan has set up. He's the God of this world. And what we've got to do as Christians is use biblical principles as we deal with this principle and system that God has set up. We've got to use Bible principles because we're here. There's no doubt about that. We live in the midst of it. But back in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, I just want to, in the fourth chapter, the 16th verse, I want to give us a little bit of background here that will kind of help us. "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Now, I want you to remember something. In verse number 16, God says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. If you go on down into chapter or verse number 25 of this chapter, you'll see the godly line beginning with Seth. Here you have Cain who slew Abel. He walks out from the presence of God and begins a civilization. Now the Bible tells us, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabel. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jabal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged 70, truly Lamech, 70 and sevenfold. What we just want to mention here is simply this, that when they went out and established a civilization, it was without God. God was not the head of this civilization. And they went out and began to do things, and they was doing all, they had tents, and they had cattle, and they made the harp and the organ, and they made all of these things outside of God's direction. It had become a civilization not directed by the Lord, but absolutely opposite from the Lord. That is what you see on through the Bible, as you see hedonistic countries and principles used throughout the Bible. You'll see them. It's because of the system that has been set up that is not godly system. It's what I said. We can work within a system, but we must use godly principles. They didn't care whether godly principles were used or not. In fact, they did not use godly principles. He went out from the very presence of God Almighty. So we've got, again, to understand something. This is God. This is the God of this world's kingdom, and that is Satan. This is his kingdom. He set it up. And at this point, we are seeing a system that is directed by Satan. You see it all through the nations of the world. If someone could just give me one nation and mention one nation that is run according to the biblical principles, I would like to know what that nation is. The nations of the world have absolutely turned their back on the Word of God. When we first come over here to America, we of course set some principles that was godly principles. And they used those principles for years. But now those principles has been done away with, many of them. We still have some of those principles evident in America. And if it wasn't, America would be much worse than it is now. So thank God for the godly principles that is left. But we went away from those principles. And there's not a country that I know of in America that directs its government according to the Bible. Now that's the way God had directed Israel to direct its government. His word. Now we understand we're not Israel, we're America, we're other nations, but we understand that. But the principle that God wants us to use is biblical principles. God's word guiding and directing every area of our life. So what we find, if you go over to Genesis the 8th chapter, the 15th verse, and of course you're familiar with the flood and all of that that happened. And Bible says, and we'll start reading at verse 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creepy thing, every fowl, and whatsoever ever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And it says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Now, what I'm simply trying to present to you tonight is the fact that God intended here in the very beginning for there to be seed time, for the planting, for the growing of animals and the killing of those animals for food and the eating of the fruit of the ground. This was God's way that he intended man to live. Now, man changed that when they went out from the presence of the Lord and formed a civilization without God. If you'll notice over in chapter 9, verse number 20, it says, Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. In other words, Noah began to go back and do those things that God had intended for him to do. I'm not going to turn over there, but it's an interesting chapter in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. You ought to go back and you ought to read that sometime. Just read it slowly and read about what God intended for his nation, for the nation of Israel, what kind of nation expected them to be. He brought them into a land, the Bible says, I can't remember what verse, but it says it lacked nothing. He brought them into a land that had everything that his people needed to survive and to prosper. Everything. And he said, as you multiply the gold and the silver, and he talked about the horses, as you multiply those things, he says, beware that you forget not God. This is the greatest danger was that as soon as the gold and the silver and the riches began to multiply, they was absolutely going to forget God. Now this is, I say to you, is exactly what's happened in America. America has forgot God because of the riches that she has. She has multiplied these riches, and we, for some reason, have decided that that's all right. That's God's will for us, and as rich as we can get, the better off we are. But that's not scriptural. It may be that God would bless someone and give them riches, but it ought to be in the context of that person living a godly life, sold out to God. And if God blesses that individual, then all right, so be it. That's wonderful. But it was not God's plan for his children ever to put work and everything else ahead of God and the principles of his word. It was never, ever all right with God for that to happen. It hasn't been, wasn't then, and it isn't now. God intends for the service of the Lord to be first in our lives. God intends for that to happen. Now, if you'll notice, when God caused Israel and gave her a land, he gave her a land where it was very difficult for that country to deal in commerce. He put the Mediterranean Sea on one side of her, and she really has no great ports. He put the deserts on the south and the east of her, and mountains on the north. He put her in a little land down there and said, I'm going to give you this land, and in this land, you lack nothing. You have everything you need. But what have we done as a nation? What has Israel done as a nation? She, of course, has went out and began to trade with other nations and to do all of these things that God did not want her to do. In fact, if you'll go back to the book of Ezekiel, you'll find out that her trade with other nations is what helped corrupt her. You go back in the book of Ezekiel, the 26th through the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, you'll find a great curse was put on Tyre, which is a city just north of Israel, and had a great port, was one of the great cities of that day, the commerce city of that day. And they began to trade with Israel, and it came about the corrupting of Israel. What I'm saying, God intended Israel to stay in her land and work in her land, and God would produce riches. He even told her she would produce riches. He said, beware when you do produce riches. I'm the one that gives you power to give wealth, the Bible said. I give you that power, but within your own land. And they, of course, did not do that. They got hooked up with these other nations, these other peoples, and it corrupted them, not only commercially wise, but also spiritually. And they got hooked up with the heathens and all of those, and they intermarried, and you know the story on that. But God never intended for that to happen. You see, it was Israel's commercial dealings that corrupted her in that day, as it began to corrupt her, because it began to bring all these other countries, gods and ways and all of these things into their country. Now, again, I'm saying for America. Now, I know America's not Israel. I understand that. I believe that. I know she's not the promised land. And we got to remember that. She's a Gentile nation. She's not a called out nation of God, but she is a nation that has been used of God. And we got to remember there's a difference between America and Israel. Okay, so we're not the same. She's a Gentile nation. But let me say to you that Gentile nation was used of God greatly in the beginning. But Satan has done everything in his power to reverse that. And let me say to you, he's done a good job. The principles that we used to live by are no longer lived by in America. We've gathered the principles of the world. In fact, God told him in Deuteronomy, he said, you came out of Egypt. Don't desire to go back there. Don't let the people go back there. And that's what he tells God's people. He tells God's people, you come out. Now, don't go back into the world, and that's what Egypt stands for. Don't go back into the world. And in fact, we as God's people has absolutely went back into the world. We've picked up her principles and the habits of the world, and we follow the habits of the world and the fashions of the world and everything else instead of following this book, the Bible, the Word of God. Now, you see, world commerce or world business all over the world, it does some things. I think you understand what's happening because, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you see all of these big conglomerates being formed, even right here in America now, you see, and they're international. Folks, you can't, you know, this America can't even deal anymore without the international trade and everything else. And see, and that's where America has failed. That is ungodly. God never intended for that to happen, because along with bringing in all of their trade and all these other things, we bring in their gods. And we bring in all the principles of the way they live. So what happens is, it enables them to avoid as much as possible what the Bible said for us to do, which was to till the earth and live by the sweat of our brow. Now that's what God told man to do. He said, you till the ground and you live by the sweat of your brow. We've done everything we can to reverse that. We don't want to sweat. We really don't want to sweat. We don't want to labor. I'm talking about most Americans want to do everything possible they can to get a four-day work day instead of a six. I'm sorry, but I'm one of these fellows still believe you all work 6 days. You may not believe that. I just believe it. If I'm not going to be out on a regular job working, I'm going to work somewhere my sixth day. Now, you may not believe that. That's all right with me. But I just still believe it. I believe it's a principle God intended for us to follow. I believe we're supposed to work. Amen. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble if you work. And let me say to you also, it doesn't have to be physical hard labor. It can be other kind of labor. In fact, he told us in the book of, I think it's 2 Timothy, he told us about those who labor in the word and doctrine. Do you know studying the Bible is work? Studying the Bible is work. If you study it like you're supposed to study it, it's labor. So it may not always be a labor that produces sweat, but we ought to work. Amen? I mean, we ought to work. It ought to be the habit of our life to work. Let me say that to all you young people out here. You learn how to work. If you don't know how to work, get busy and start learning how to work. You need to know how to work. That's the way God has set it up. See, God never give anybody any free ride. Amen? Work. Amen. I just believe that. And so what has happened is, man has done everything they can to try to get out of work. cut the hours, cut the days, cut this and that, so that we won't have to work. That's contrary to the way God intended for us to do. Not only that, the world trade and all these things unifies nations together that God never intended to be unified. You go back to the story of Nimrod. You go back to the start of Babel. What happened was is this unity. It was a unity of people who gathered together for the purpose of commerce and also religion. They built a tower of Babel, and it was supposed to reach unto heaven. Now, we know it did not reach unto heaven, but the Bible says their sins reached unto heaven. The tower itself didn't. But anyway, we know that it unifies the people outside of God. And that's what's happening today. You see, and I've told you this before, but the United Nations, you don't mention the Lord Jesus Christ in the United Nations. See, there's a people united together outside of the Lord. And that's contrary to the Bible. We ought not to be unifying with people who don't love God. We once was a nation that loved God and could supply every need we had in this country. But now we've got to depend upon international trade to supposedly supply the need of this nation, and we do that by inviting the heathen in and bringing their gods in with them. And we've done that for years and years. So what happens is this world trade and this world unity enables individuals and cities and nations to become abundantly rich. As he said back in Deuteronomy, the multiplying of gold and silver. In fact, he told in Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter of Deuteronomy, he told the king, you're not to be busy about multiplying your horses and your gold and your silver. That's not the purpose of the kingdom. That was not what they were supposed to do. In fact, he said, you get a copy of the law. You get a copy of the Word of God, and you keep it beside you, and you read it every day, and you run the kingdom by the Word of God. So what happens is, individuals has become rich. And so because they have become rich, they have enough money that they think they can be independent of God. Now, folks, you mark this down. A rich man has very much trouble being dependent on God. Now, you mark it down. I didn't say they could not be. There may be some rich people who are dependent on God, but very few. Because when you get rich, you become dependent on self. And God wants us dependent upon Him from day to day. That's one of the reasons I'm saying to you as a people, I'm not really worried about this building project out here. I thank God for where it's at. But I believe God is going to supply, and if He doesn't supply, I don't want it anyway. I want God to supply. I don't want this world to supply it. I want God to supply it, and He does that through His people. That's the way God works. Isn't that correct? Isn't that right? Sure, that's the way He does. But people who make a lot of money and they get all rich, they become independent of God and dependent on self and the banks. Government programs makes us dependent on government. You see, we think it's a great thing that happened back there when Franklin D. Roosevelt started all of those programs and headed us towards socialism in America. One of the horrible things that ever happened to America. We've been headed down that trail all these years, and we now are in a socialistic country. And we're dependent on government instead of God Almighty. You see, the welfare program is a horrible program. You say, oh, Brother Ross, what would we do? Well, we'd get back to trusting God. Instead of walking to the welfare office and getting a check, we'd say, oh, God, I don't have anything. What are you going to do, God? Help me. I need your help. I need some food for my family. God, help me. And God would give them something. They'd say, thank you, God. But no, they say, thank you, welfare system. Thank you, government. Because that's who I'm dependent upon. It's one of the horriblest things that's ever happened. I know you say, well, what's these people going to do? You know, it's kind of like the man down in the hog pen. He got fed some food when he come up out of the hog pen. When he got right with his Father. I'm just simply saying to you folks, what has happened in America is we've become a socialistic country and commerce controls everything. No matter what it is, commerce controls. The stock market, Alan Greenspan speaks, and I'm telling you, the world trembles. He made a speech the other day, and I mean, it fell. I mean, the stock market fell. All he has to do is speak in the stock market. You know why? Because everybody's dependent upon the stock market instead of God. We're not to be dependent upon the stock market. Our dependence is going to be upon God Almighty, a wonderful Savior. You see, that's not where our dependence, but most of America, the whole commerce system of America depends upon the stock market. Amen. It's an ungodly system. I'm not telling you to get out of it. I'm saying Satan has developed an ungodly system, and it's here in America. It's there. I'm simply saying to you, if you lose everything you got in the stock market, just say, well, I should have thought of that. I should have been dependent on God. I don't want you to lose everything. Don't want you to lose everything. Hope you do fine. Hope all those things happen. I'm just simply saying to you folks, trust God. And not the stock market or anything else. Trust God. Put your faith and trust in Him. You see, this world business, this world economy is absolutely opposite of God's plan. Absolutely opposite. You see, God's plan is for every man to sit under his own vine and sit under his own fig tree. Have his own. You see, that's why in America today, you see everybody hooked up with all these big organizations, I mean these big companies and all this, they're dependent on them. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants you and I dependent on these big companies, worldwide companies. That's where he wants us instead of dependent upon God. You see, I was talking to David here the other day about his business, and he was telling me that a lot of the carpet business now is going, some of the big companies are buying out all of the little small carpet people. Do you have any understanding whatsoever of why they want these little companies gone? Control. It's the Antichrist system that's going to control. Do you know why you farmers, Brother Jack? I'm sure you do, but Brother Jack and Brother Moore back there, and I'm trying to think who else is a farmer here Donnie Davis. He isn't here tonight, but Donnie Davis. Do you know why they cannot make a living now? They're running them out of business on purpose. Did you see the other day where the Apple people who produce apples had never once ever asked for any money from the United States government, and now they are being forced out of business because of the apples that's being shipped in here from China, and they can't make it, and they're going to have to shut down their businesses? That's on purpose. That's old Satan's system trying to get rid of all these small organizations. God intended, Brother Jack, for you to have a farm or whatever it is, your work, whatever it is. God intended, Brother Dallas, you farmed for years to have that. Donnie Davis, God intended for that, to have your own fig tree, your own vine. When I was a boy, I worked for a man who had 80 acres of land, and he farmed, and I think it was either 30 or 40, but we'll say 40, I can't remember for sure. That made him 120 acres of land, and he made a good living. I worked for him for years in my younger years. I started when I was 11 years old working for him. And I worked for him. And he made a good living. He was considered a successful farmer. He raised some hogs along with it. But he only had 120 acres, maybe 110, but 120 acres to deal with. And he made a good living. Well, you couldn't make anything today on 120 acres of land. There's no way. That's why you see the Kmart's and the Walmart's pushing these little businesses out of business. It's those who have run businesses for years. It's been their own little vine, their own little fig tree, and they sat under it and they made a living for it by it. But now they're gone. They're being pushed out. That's part of the system that Satan is setting up. And if we can't see that is mushrooming. I mean, do you see all the mergers that is going on in this country? Merger after merger after merger after merger after merger. Large mergers worth billions of dollars sometimes, and certainly millions of dollars. And just merging together. What's that all about? It's setting up the Antichrist system. It's been coming for a long time, but it's getting now to the place where a little man has very hard, difficult time in making it. See, we're being forced into that situation. The Antichrist kingdom, if you remember back in the 13th chapter of Revelation, but the whole Antichrist kingdom, its system is designed around commerce, the buying and selling. He controls the world with the ability to either refuse you to buy or let you buy. Amen. To the home, to the church, and to our country. In other words, we no longer are an American. We have to be Afro-American, Spanish-American, Italian-American. We have to be something rather than just be American. We're destroying the loyalty and the patriotism of this country. Used to be when flags went by, men years ago tipped their hat, pulled it off, put it over their heart, or if they didn't have a hat on, slapped a hand over their heart, watched that flag as it went by, and loved it for what it stood for. Do you ever watch them now? Oh, there's still some men out there do it, absolutely. Thank God for it. But did you ever watch them? It don't mean anything to them. Patriotism has gone down the drain. I'm not talking about to everybody, but I'm talking about as a national thing. Burn the flag, folks. It don't make a difference. I'm simply saying to you, they want you and I to have no loyalty to America. They want our boys to go out and sign up in the military and get under the authority of a United Nations commander and do what they say. You do not see American wars anymore. You see United Nations wars, NATO wars. It's not American wars. We're under the authority of the United Nations or NATO. So again, I'm simply saying it's designed to destroy. You've heard this thing they call you isolationist. If you want to just believe and just let America take care of America, well, you're an isolationist. But let me tell you, that's the way God intended it. Get in your own country. God has provided enough things here in America. Anything we need in America is here. I said need. I didn't say want. I didn't say all those things that are listed in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation and all those fancy things that men want and travel all over the world and ship them all over the world. I didn't say that. But here in America, everything is here that we need. But the system that Satan has set up has helped to destroy us and wants us to have all of these things. We must have all of these things. Where we destroy the loyalty of this great country. Not only that, we also destroy family loyalty. Think about it just for a minute. How many years, and I don't know about your situation, but how many years has it been since your family had a reunion? I want to tell you, years ago, all families had reunions. Now, you may still have reunions. That's one of the reasons why we do everything we can to keep ours alive. I don't want it to die. I want to get together with our family, enjoy our family once, at least once a year, and see each other and just love each other and care about each other. I just think that's important. But listen, the family unit is being destroyed. And Satan has done a tremendous job in destroying the family unit. Listen to me. He's done the same thing to the church. Where years ago, people would have stuck with the church and just stuck there. No matter what. No matter what happened, they just stick there. They just fight the battles. They just do whatever. Oh, no, not now. No, no, no. No, no. No loyalty whatsoever. No loyalty to the work of God whatsoever. The work of God used to be more important than personal agendas. Oh, no, not now, because you're not supposed to have loyalty. Well, I believe you are. I believe you're supposed to have loyalty to a church. Believe that. Amen? You're supposed to have loyalty to it. You're just supposed to love it. You're just supposed to appreciate it. You're supposed to just get in and help it, and help its work, because it's the work of God. See? And I believe that. But no, the whole system has been designed to destroy the loyalty of the home and the church and our country. Now, what is it now? Well, it's the power of greed that has taken over. Higher standard of living, that's what I want. Man, I want a higher standard of living. Why do you need a higher standard of living? Why do I need a higher standard of living? That's our goal anymore. Everybody wants to be rich. Get as much as we can. I mean, let's just pile it in. Why do we need a higher standard of living? You know, the principle of young people coming out of school now is climb up in this world. Where did we ever get that? Is that the principle we want to teach our children? Is get out there and go higher in this world. Get all you can get. Is that what we want? Is that the principle the Word of God teaches us? First of all, godliness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's first. Some of these other things may come along with it, but that's all right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is first. And you know what most of Americans are out there doing? They're out there seeking a way to make more money and build their positions, be more important in this world, get up on a higher scale. And let me even say to you, preachers do that same thing. They're wanting to climb the ladder of success. They want to get in a bigger, bigger church so they can be looked at as success. Baloney. Best thing you do as a preacher, just be in the will of God. Wherever that's at, if it's in a big church, fine. If it's in a small church, fine. Just be in the will of God. See, that's what we're supposed to do. But no, we want this success thing. And we're teaching that to our children. Climb the ladder of success. Success in what? Satan's kingdom? Amen? And we're wanting to build this great, monstrous financial base. So that when we get older, we don't have to worry about anything. We don't even have to depend on God. Because we've got it. Contrary. Contrary to the Word of God. All that means is this. Let us be independent of God. Let me ask you a question. Honestly, please. I'm not ridiculing anybody. We're all in the same boat. Will you listen to me? Why is it, in all seriousness, that we will say, well, I've got to work, but we don't have to serve God? Now, I've got to go to work today, and that well may be, but we don't have to go on soul winning on Thursday night. Now, where does that make sense to anybody? Somebody please tell me. Well, I've just got to get this done, but I don't have to be in the services. What's first? That's what's happened to America. We are caught up with Satan's system. And we fell right into its trap. And it rules us. The Bible says, take heed and keep yourselves from covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It's not life. The things of God is life. The Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon this earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. You see, there's a system already in place that's going to materialize, and one of these days there's a city which is named Babylon here, is going to be the head of that city. I mean, the head of that commercial system. And let me say to you today, I've told you before, I'm not sure where that city is. Is it Babylon rebuilt? Is it another city? But let me say to you right now, that city does not exist today in the form that we will know of it as then. That day, that city will be a glorious city, known all over the world, and everybody will come to that city, wherever that city is. It's not the cities we see today in this world. It may be one of those, but they have not come to prominence like it will in that day, because the Antichrist will set up his system and his seat in that city. And the system, as it talks about Babylon here, don't you understand it's a system of commerce? Don't you understand that's what it all it is? And it's got us all to some degree entrapped in it. And we are out there worrying about what we can get for this world, and laying up treasures for this world instead of laying up treasures in heaven. Right. Folks, just listen to your preacher. Don't get mad at him. Just listen to him. And weigh what I'm saying to you tonight. What I'm saying is truth. Get your life in priority balanced correctly. We know you have to work. We know all those things. But folks, why is it we have to do that, and why is it we never have to serve God? And you tell me where that makes sense. To God or man. Amen? I'm just saying, get everything in order, folks. I do believe Jesus is coming in. Your preacher has warned you. We've talked about the Y2K and all those things. I'm not near as concerned about the Y2K as I am what's coming into America in judgment. I believe it is coming. I believe it's already on the horizon. I believe it's already here. But I believe it's going to get worse and worse. I think it would be wise for you to do some things in preparation. I don't want you to be foolish. I don't want you to be silly. But I think you ought to be, like you're instructed in the Word of God, go to the ant and learn some things. And get prepared, not foolishly, not silly, because we're going to trust in God. But yes, we are. But let me say to you, God expects us to be wise. See, it's not just Y2K that I'm worried about. I'm not really worried, I say concerned about. It's down the road. What is going to happen in America, folks? America can't go on. We've said this for years, killing babies at the rate of 1.5 million a year, and God do nothing. Now, we've said that for years, and God is moving, and God is doing things. We ought to get our eyes open. You look at the earthquakes, you look at the fires, you look at the volcano eruptions, you look at all of these things, and you look at the tragedies going on not right here in our land, but also across this whole world, and you better get a hold of it and say, you know what, God is speaking to us. I don't know His timetable. It's not up for me to know that. But I think as people of God, we ought to be wise and just do some preparation. Especially spiritual preparation. More important than any of the other preparation. Amen? Do some preparation. Jesus is coming. He's speaking to us. Amen? Because that's going to happen in Revelation 18. It's going to happen. One of these days, that Babylon is going to be completely destroyed. The commerce system of this world is going to be destroyed in a day and an hour. And Jesus is going to set up His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thanking You for Your goodness and Your kindness. And thank You for who You are and how great and wonderful You are. And I thank You, Father, for the Word of God. How You help us and encourage us and warn us and just do those things that's necessary in our life to help us to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Help us to be wise in the time that You give us to use it for the winning of people. Lord, seeing that people are prepared to meet the Lord when He comes. As Blessed Hope Baptist Church, help us to be a wise church, a wise people. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.